Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by two key figures from Conroy Gold and Natural Resources, John Sherman, the newly appointed chairman, and Kevin McNulty, senior geologist. Welcome back, gents.
Welcome. Good to be here. Thanks very much.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously, firstly, we'd like to express our condolences on the recent passing of Professor Richard Conroy, whose vision and leadership were instrumental in shaping the future of the company and the Discs of Gold project. Professor Conroy's legacy is not only in the discoveries he led, but also in the team and direction that he left behind. Today, we'll be exploring the Disc of Gold project in Ireland, a district-scale opportunity featuring the Clontibret gold deposit and a host of additional gold targets, with over 30,000 metres of drill core analysis underway and partnerships being pursued. This is a pivotal moment for Conroy Gold. So I guess first off, John, congratulations on your appointment as chairman. Could you just tell us a bit about your background and what led you to this role?
Yeah, so my background, basically, I grew up around the world, Asia, Europe, US, spent over half my professional life in London, spent 30 years in the investment business, initially as a research stock analyst, so initially with a broker, and then for over 20 years with a large, long-only fundamental investment manager. You know, during that time, I oversaw investments in companies around the globe, developed Europe, Japan, North America, emerging markets, plenty of sectors from long cycle like biotech and aerospace. So that's not dissimilar to the mining industry in terms of investment cycles, to short cycles, retailers, distributors, stable businesses, so consumer goods, volatile businesses, chemicals. So that included potash miners, as well as precious metal chemistry and processors. So it's a pretty rich experience, plenty of learnings from successes, and also in the investment business, you fail a lot of times and you learn from that. Key takeaways, for a successful investment, first you need good insight and patience. Second, capital deployment is vital for successful investments. So companies have to make good choices. They have to have plenty of opportunity to make those choices. And then I think what's also important, and I spent 15 years on the proxy committee, is good governance. So companies that work for the shareholders. So those are some of the qualities that I bring into this role to lead Conroy onward from the strong foundation that Professor Conroy has left for the company.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt about it that, Professor Conroy left a real legacy and, as you said, an incredible foundation for the company. But how do you plan to kind of build on his vision and leadership, particularly with this Discs of Gold project?
Yeah, so this work to focus has been underway since I've been involved formally with the company at the start of the year. And as people refer to our new corporate presentation, we start and emphasize advancing Clontibret. That's the lead target. A lot of work's gone into the target over the years, and that's the priority. And to have the vision of to deliver on the vision of a district gold player, you need to start with a mine, and Clontibret is the lead target there. We have a confirmed resource. We're doing more work. Kevin could speak about a bit of that work later, but that's the priority.
So what was Professor Conroy's hope and wish for Conroy Gold before he passed? Obviously, for people who don't know, you're obviously related to Professor Conroy as well through his daughter. So yeah, just give us an idea of what Professor Conroy wanted to happen at Conroy, and maybe wanted to happen long before he passed away.
Well, I refer back to the focus and bringing in a miner. At Clontibret, that was what we were working towards that when he unfortunately passed away. So the work we're doing now is a continuation of that. Many years of pulling together the opportunity and the breadth of opportunity, which I think is, from what I understand, fairly unique in the world of junior miners. We have choices, but the clear lead choice is Clontibret to develop a mine there.
So, Kevin, tell us a little bit about Clontibret. I mean, we visited Clontibret. If you remember, John, we met you personally when we were there probably 2 years ago, I think it was, almost. Not to the day, because I think it was later, slightly later in the year. But we were there in Clontibret then, and we'd been there before as well with Kevin when he took us down to the stream and the old antimony mine as well. So, Kevin, yeah, just tell us from a geologist's perspective, we've got 517,000 ounces of JORC from 2017 in gold, which is a substantial amount as it is with gold, you know, at 2,600 per ounce. So, yeah, just give us the background on it. Give people an idea what Clontibret's like, you know, as an area, and, yeah, let people envisage it themselves.
Yep. As you say, there's outcrop there, but it's set in a sort of drumlin type of terrain, which is this glaciated terrain. So it's got some till cover. And as you mentioned, we have a resource there of just over 500,000 ounces. Quite a lot of that is already in the indicated category. So what we have been doing, though, that resource is only on a small portion of the actual overall target. So one of the things we've been doing, and Clontibret's been known about for quite a while, you know, it was where gold was found initially in the whole gold trend area. And there's been drilling going back since the original drilling, I suppose, in the late 1950s. And then more drilling was done in the 1970s. And then we've advanced it on from there. But certainly one of the things we're doing now is trying to pull all that information together with some of our new modern techniques that we've been using, particularly on that older core that was done in the 1970s. And we're lucky we have an archive of core going back that far in our core sheds. So there's probably over 5,000 meters of old core that was done in the 70s. And we're looking at applying new knowledge to that, stuff that we've learned from the understandings of places like Fosterville and Newfound Gold, but particularly Fosterville. And Fosterville is an interesting case, because we believe Fosterville is very akin to what we've seen in Clontibret. And the significance of Fosterville is that at depth, it goes from a refractory ore deposit, which had very similar grades to us, and it started out as a BIOX operation, open pit operation. But then at depth, Fosterville gets free gold, and you had, I think in the Swan Zone there, you had like 2 million ounces or something like that, at over 50 grams a ton. But that happens at about 800 meters depth. Most of the drilling we have done in Clontibret is shallow. It's probably all mostly around 100 to 150 meters. The deepest hole that we've drilled in Clontibret is about 350 meters. So one of these things we're doing with the relogging is compiling all that information together to help us target to go deep, to target these richer zones depth. But it also will help us in building the geological knowledge. We'll be able to do more drilling, but also to understand we're going to incorporate the antimony in it and obviously bring in a new resource model in relation to that. So this is all building towards updating the resource model, bringing in the antimony into the resource model, and understanding the controls for going deeper to target zones deeper that might have these spectacular grades that we're looking for. So that's pretty much what's
doing. So why antimony is suddenly in favor?
Well, antimony is key because antimony and the gold are linked. And if you look at Fosterville, it's antimony and gold become one of the critical pathfinders at depth at the below 800 meters. But antimony is a crucial raw material. It's got its value in relation to strategic projects. It's a critical mineral for the EU and also in the UK. But the new things that are coming forward for antimony as well, there's some interesting uses, things like the liquid batteries. You have some big players involved in that. Ambier batteries, I think, are doing it. But these are batteries that will make solar and wind power electrical storage affordable. So there's some guys working from MIT. I think Bill Gates is funding some of that stuff as well. But antimony as well is also used in fire retardants. It's used in a whole lot of different things. For us, it's great. It's a byproduct. We're focused on the gold, and it'll also help us to try to chase these high-grade zones and where the free gold is occurring. And that's what they used in Fosterville as part of their chase these high-grade zones. So as I say, we're incorporating, which we haven't done before, the antimony into our resource model and updating our resource model as part of this relogging.
And presumably, Kevin, that you've compared it to these world-class deposits, as you mentioned, you know, Fosterville, Southeastern Australia and Atlantic Canada. Just can you elaborate on these analogies and how they kind of guide your exploration sort of approach, you know, with the focus on Timiny as well? Is there indicators there that where Timiny, it's a similar geology, for instance?
Correct, yes. Both, all these, we have the exact same geology as is in Fosterville. These turbidite sequences, grey wackies, they used to be referred to as turbidite-hosted gold deposits. And similarly with Newfound Gold. Newfound Gold is actually on the same belts that we're exploring on as well in Newfoundland.
Yeah.
The analogies are really striking. When we did the BIOX operation, looking at the metallurgy originally, the guys who were doing the BIOX said, wow, this is very similar to what the BIOX results that we got at Fosterville. And this was before Fosterville drilled at depth. That sort of got us our attention in relation to looking at Fosterville and following Fosterville very closely. And I remember reading their resource report and its geological descriptions. You could have just transplanted the text onto our target because it's the exact same. And then I had the good fortune of seeing some of the core out of the PDAC, and I couldn't believe it. It was like looking at my own core that I have here. It was fantastic. So, and then when you start to go into more technical details, you know, I could talk about, you know, the relationship of the gold and the sulfides and things like that, which are a bit more technical, but those similarities are there as well in detail. Yeah, so it's not just abroad, it's actually when you look at things in a more technical detail.
I just want you to, you know, you mentioned BIOX, but just for listeners who may not know, presumably that's some sort of
actualization.
Right, so it's a BIOX. So is that where effectively you use bacteria to do the leaching itself?
Yeah, the bacteria break down the sulfides. So the gold is incorporated in the sulfides. So you have basically two types of sulfides. You have pyrite and arsenopyrite. And most of the gold is held in arsenopyrite. That means that it's associated with that. So you need to break it down to liberate the gold out. So the bacteria basically munch through this. They love eating these sulfides. They oxidize them. So it's sort of like the process of rusting a nail or whatever else. They rust the sulfides or oxidize the sulfides. And then from that enables the gold to be liberated out, which is a really environmentally friendly way of liberating out the gold.
As opposed to using some sort of dangerous, harmful cyanides.
Yeah, you'd still obviously need to wean the gold out. You're probably looking at using some chemicals after that, but it would be instead of using sort of roasting, which is actually using high demands electricity and producing toxic fumes or some of the other techniques. So it's quite an environmentally friendly process.
So, Kevin, all the information that you gathered over the years and even, or not even, but through Demir on Clontibret, now you're pretty confident you have all the information required to have an updated resource, both from a gold and antimony point of view?
Yeah, no, we have all the ingredients. We're basically taking that information, we're putting it together now in a very comprehensive way and applying, as I say, these new learnings and techniques that we've got from Fosterville, from Newfound Gold, and new equipment. Like we've got new magnetometer, MagSlust equipment here. We have now got the handheld XRF. So the handheld XRF on that 1970s core gives us multiple element coverage over that core, which is fantastic. So we'll be able to look at all the alteration in relation to that and all the different chemical elements associated with the mineralized zones. And before you come into the mineralized zones, which will help us target, as I say, the gold and build a really comprehensive model going forward. So it's quite exciting, actually. I'm really enjoying it.
Good. And John, obviously, Conroy Gold owns the Clontibret farm and the land that this is on at the minute. Haven't visited this place. So, you know, with your current market capitalization and need for someone to come in and help you, how do you intend to go down that line, I assume, once you've updated all this information?
We're working on, I guess, two strands. I mean, first is to collaborate with a large industry player, and that work is ongoing. And a second choice would be to find, you know, financial investors directly into the project, and that we pull the plan together and then agree on the plan and execute it. That's another possibility. You know, with our current market value, the cost of capital for the company is very high. It's you know, not attractive to keep raising money at the current share price. So we need to think carefully around that. And so a partnership model is the way forward. And, you know, especially with industrial or strategic partner, they bring other skills to the table and other resources that will help the team
a great team on the ground, but it's a small team. They're working hard, but they're only so many hours in the day. And
but the project itself is just fantastic. As you said earlier on, there's very few projects in the world similar to this. When you've got 90 kilometers gold trend, a resource already established on a really small portion of Clontibret. You know, even when the people we married and came over and looked at her, who's now one of our directors, her jaw was on the floor when she started going through, you know, different owns that we had, right? And particularly with, you know, things like the Cream Kill, and you're getting visible gold at 123 grams a ton, you know, some great stuff here. So it really is, I think, very appetizing for anyone to look at.
Yeah, and there are lots of opportunities, but I think the market's been screaming out for a while now, focus on one, because you can't have a gold district unless you start, you know, and you start with something. So, you know, if you look even at the 517,000 ounces, you know, of gold in the ground, that's, you know, at $2,600 an ounce, that's currently $1.34 billion. Now, obviously, there's no way in heaven that is profit or anything of the kind, because you've got to do all the processing and all the capital costs to get it out the ground. But, you know, we know that's only a start. So that's really where, for me anyway, as an investor and as someone who's been following this story for a while, we really do just need an update in the resources. And hopefully, as John said, to get either a JV or somebody who wants to come in at project level, not company level, and help you progress this. Because we all thought Damir was going to be that, but it turned out it really wasn't. So what's your thoughts on that, Kevin?
Yeah, I would totally agree with you. That's what we're doing, is we're focused on Clontibret, very, very focused on Clontibret, to develop that into a mine. So this is why we're going back, looking at the core, basically bring that in to look at updating the resource model, bring in the antimony in relation to that, and also to help our understanding in targeting. And I think also that will not only help us, but also help other people externally as well. That if we have that as a sort of a key part of the overall thing, that we can show we have the guts of a mine here, and that it can only grow from that, I think is an excellent strategy going forward.
And how much work would it require, Kevin, to, you know, you've got some in the inferred and some in the indicated. How much would it take to... Obviously, you're going to be doing the re-logging, you know, and obviously structural analysis, as you've said. You're going to do deeper drilling to test the result in the high grade. And then you're also going to look to reduce the strip ratio. But how much work would it require to expand that sort of into the actually measured or proven category to move it into, you know, all of that 507,000 into that, or even extend it?
Well, I don't think you need to do much into the measure, because you can obviously use or indicate it in the... In your calculations, your economic calculations. You can't use inferred. So it's really doing that. Different interpretations. I'm not a resource geologist, but you get different interpretations. Some people feel happy with, you know, if the variography is holding up very well, which it actually does with Clontibret, which is great. Variography is basically looking between two different drill holes and how much variance there is in the grades in relation to that ore distribution. So with Clontibret, because it's a refractory ore deposit with Arsino, associated with arsenopyrite, the variography is quite low. So we don't get a big variance between drill hole to drill hole. So that's very beneficial. But some people, like, as I say, prefer that you, I know in other deposits, they actually preferred you to have mined or have a part of a mine open before they actually go to measure it, where others will be happy with a closer drill spacing. I suspect some of our drill spacing, some of it's at 20 meters, some of that could be actually converted into a measured. But as I say, it depends on the person who's actually doing the resource calculation.
As part of the drilling with Damir, more drilling took place on Clontibret than had previously been done before?
No, there hadn't, but they had certainly concentrated quite a bit on the Stockwork zone on that and stepping out from that. But no, we had more drilling ourselves in Clontibret before. But they have certainly added to it. And certainly one of the key elements, I think, was one of the holes they did is the verification hole, which actually is the best hole that we've had into the Clontibret deposit, where we've got, you know, nearly 90-odd metres at a 1 gram a tonne, including some quite nice high-grade zones present in that. Yeah, so it's what we're doing now is really, it's, yes, we're incorporating some of the Damir stuff, but it's looking at some of the historical drilling, as I say. drill holes, we keep half the core. It's like a sort of archive. So you're pulling it in and out. This is normal things that companies do when your understanding increases on the deposit. And certainly when we're more aware of now what was done in Fosterville and how they looked and targeted for the higher grade zones and what Newfound Gold had been doing in relation to that, looking at the alteration envelopes. And that's what we're trying to apply to our project here so that we have a real comprehensive guide going forward.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've obviously seen, in statements that effectively you barely scratched the surface at Clontibra and it's open at depth and a long trend. So just give the listeners a sort of a taste of what, you know, what the work plan is for the next 6 months to 12 months going forward with Conroy.
Well, certainly the work plan at the moment, I've been busy, as you can see, I've been busy up logging here every day, and we're re-looking at the mineralization on that. We will, as I say, over the next period, be incorporating all that into a model, geological model and resource model, looking at the antimony and bringing that together as well, and moving the project forward in that regard. And probably with that information, then hopefully being able to target some key high-grade zones.
Yeah, for additional drilling.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then drilling with either a strategic partner or a financial partner.
So, John.
Yes.
What are we going to do in terms of the way forward, and how do you intend to act to get these joint ventures and or cash with obviously your experience in this market? Are we set for a ride here with Conroy Gold?
Well, we're working diligently. I mean, I'm supported by a very strong board with good contacts and, you know, good experiences. And then, you know, the company itself has had historic relations with a number of companies. So we feel well, you know, covered on the, you know, covered from the corporate side and on the financial side. Similarly, you know, directors are helpful. I have, you know, helpful contacts from my experience. So we work on that to try and find investors who are willing to put money behind a junior explorer. I think there are a lot of people ready to write checks for, you know, a mine plan. We're a little earlier than that, but we work on that. And in this business, you know, timing is, you can never predict the timing. It takes two to dance. And, you know, obviously we you know, sooner the better, but we want the right partner.
Yeah, but we're driven to move the project forward. That's very much that's what we want to do.
Yeah. I want to just touch on that you mentioned earlier, John, about Marion Moroney joining the board. And obviously, you know, being a seasoned leader in exploration and mining, I think she brings over about 30 years of experience. And she spent obviously more than two decades with Barrick Gold and a very senior roles, VP of the new exploration. Just what do you think Marion is going to bring to the company?
Energy, enthusiasm, the experience of seeing, you know, looking at juniors from the perspective of a large company, you know, what makes sense, what do you have to show, and just the knowledge of different gold deposits, as you see them all. And I think, you know, when she's on site with the geological team here, I mean, their energy levels are,
oops, you know, it's bring it to, yes,
it's great to have everyone, you know, almost we're at Red Bull high.
Man, my chamois, but I can feel that energy. But I mean, it's interesting because I think she actually is part of or a member of the PDAC Geoscience and Innovation Committee. So it'll be interesting to see how she can use that kind of like community to bring things forward, you know, or interest or let's say introductions to Conroy.
I mean, Kevin could speak to from a geologist point of view. What
she has immense contacts, like from her history working with a very very large company, where she would have been dealing with people all over the world. But her contact base is just incredible. But not only her contact base, her experience, knowledge, geological knowledge, like she has brought so much stuff here now, and that's, you know, we're looking doing some of this relogging is pretty much from her input. And what she's saying, keep an eye out for this, look for this, put the package together in this way. So, yeah, no, she's very much hands-on and, as I say, just an immense person to work with.
It would be fair to say she knows how to kind of build value into companies.
Oh, absolutely. Incredible. You know, as I say, just she's absolutely incredible individual.
Very good.
Did she have any or does she have any experience with Fosterville or the other projects that you're talking about, Kevin?
Just she's Australian, yes. She has good knowledge of Fosterville. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I think early in her career, she recommended Fosterville to one of her employers, and they passed.
And that's on 10 million, more than 10 million ounces.
This was at the time, it was not.
It was not. Yeah, she's very familiar with it.
So why did she join Conroy Goldman?
I think she loves the project. She's excited about the project and excited about where we can go with the project.
And this is my understanding is, you know, she would visit this stand at PDAC over the years, and each year this is getting more and more interesting.
Yes.
And so then when she, you know, stepped away from Barrick, she had strong interest and enthusiasm.
She couldn't fight the lore of the gold bar and the harp, could she, on the signage of Conroy?
Yeah, no. As I say, she does have some Irish connections as well. So, but yeah, I think she's watched the project grow over the last number of years. It's, as I say, it's fantastic to have her working for us.
But the irony of the situation, John, is that right now probably Conroy is as lower market cap as it has been in the last number of years. And yeah, I think you're probably in a better position now than you have ever been.
I would agree. We have a great template, great project, great team around us on the ground. Yeah, we push forward. And the, you know, the goal is to bring a mine in.
Yep.
You know, to make that vision, you know, real and tangible. And it's, you know, it's not easy. I think for the whole junior sector, finance is a chronic challenge. You know, I guess the Lassonde curve is very much alive, alive and well. And as leadership, you know, we need to work through that with diligence.
Indeed. Okay. Well, we wish you luck, and we hope to hear from you in the not too distant future about progress that's happening with Clontibret, and maybe we take a scoot over there again and show people what's happening, you know. I mean, I think because of the ban also of antimony from China, there is a real need in the West for antimony, which I can't pronounce very well. So this really adds an extra dimension to what's at Clontibret, because obviously it was an old antimony mine. Before they start discovering the gold. So, yep, very interesting times ahead, and we look forward to what you're going to be putting out in the future.
Thanks, Ashley. Thank you for your time, Kevin and Phil.
Thanks, so, John Sherman and Kevin McNulty of Conroy Gold, thanks very much for appearing on the podcast.
I look forward to having you over.
Yeah, thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.